Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. This is where top performers share their secrets to help you achieve your personal and your professional goals. I am your host, Denise Griffiths, and together with my amazing guests, we bring you inspiring and actionable insights that will take your life and your business to the next level. Ranked in the top 2% globally, this podcast really is a must listen. So whether you're tuning in for entrepreneurial tips, career advice, or personal development strategies, get ready to turn inspiration into action, challenges into triumphs, and dreams into reality. And our topic today with my returning guest, Brad Zalas, is about my favorite topic, podcasting. Now, Brad is not just any guest. He's a friend, a colleague, a fellow podcaster, and a multifaceted serial entrepreneur with a wealth of experience as a C-level executive and an acclaimed business author. Beyond his remarkable business career, Brad is the award-winning author of Liquid Leadership, and I have that new version of it on my desk. And he is the creative mind behind the Awakened Nation podcast, where he interviews today's most innovative outliers and entrepreneurs. Now, in this conversation, we're going to have a bit of fun, and we're going to do our best to share what we know about our knowledge in podcasting. And we're reflecting on the key insights and transformative experiences we've encountered. I've been doing this for 16 years. Brad's been doing it for quite a while as well. And we're going to spotlight some of the remarkable guests who've left a lasting impact on us with their wisdom. And we're going to debunk a few common podcasting myths. And there's a lot of them. And we also want to share with you why this period is a pivotal time for the podcasting community. The podcasting community is growing massively. So welcome to a thought-provoking discussion that reveals the depth and the diversity of the podcasting world from our collective perspective. Brad, welcome back to Your Partner in Success Radio, and thank you for sending me your book.
Thank you, Denise, for having me on and for being a good friend. And I got to tell you, I've been on your show four times before this, and I really, what you're doing is just phenomenal, and I can see why you're in the top 2% of podcasters around the world, so thank you.
Well, you know, honestly, I think it's because, and I don't have anything to prove me wrong, but I think it's because of two things. One, the quality of my guests. I mean, y'all are fantastic. Sheer consistency. I never quit. It never occurred to me to give it up.
Yeah. Well, your guests, I'm always impressed. And for those of you who may not know this, we're going to pull back the curtain a little bit. But Denise and I do some guest swapping. So if I have somebody I think is perfect for Denise's show, I reach out to her and I say, here, would you like this person, this person, and this person? And Denise does the same. And the one thing you and I have in common is we like our guests to be of a high caliber. Not just anybody can be on our shows. I make that clear up front when people reach out to me sometimes.
I do the same. I mean, this started out, this podcast is now 16 years old. She's old enough to drive. I know, it's crazy. But I started out largely as a business podcast because that's where I live, you know, business, web development. You know me, I'm a nerd in stilettos. But over time, I've gotten to meet and speak with just amazing people. And it may not strictly be business, and you're doing the same. You know, you're wandering around a little bit too, which I find fascinating. And I get to meet, honestly, people from all over the world, the Netherlands, London, Croatia. I mean, it's just been insane. And I'll tell you straight out, and I've said this many times before, I consider my guests to be my mentors in so many ways. And you do as well.
Yeah. You know what started out for me? I don't know if you know this, but I was on probably 100 podcasts through the years before I started Awakened Nation. And what happened is I, you remember the late, great Tom Too Tall Cunningham?
I do. Yeah, we were mutual friends. He was more a friend of yours, though.
Yeah, we were business partners as well. And he would call me up. He'd be like, Brad, you want to be a guest today? You know, and that's how he spoke. You know, he was like my little brother. We used to always tease him. But he would call me up when he was either in extreme pain and couldn't get through an interview, or it was out of his depth. And one time it was for Bruce Buffer, the ring announcer for the Octagon at the UFC. And I felt incredibly blessed to do those shows with Tom. But I started to realize there was a pattern to the guests that I was interviewing. And I started to realize it was a lot of business stories, but nobody wanted to dive deeper into, well, you had to overcome alcoholism, two divorces, and you lost your company three times. And this started to bother me. So when people came to me and they said, Brad, you really should have a podcast. You should have your own podcast. I didn't launch it for probably 3-4 years because I wanted it to be just right. You know what I mean? And so I literally turned around and I just said, you know what? I want something different. And it wasn't until I was on an interview show with Jim Palmer, our good friend, and your good friend and mine as well, Ben Gay III.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm on this podcast, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm on this podcast with these business gurus. Why the heck am I on the show? And all of a sudden, Ben starts talking about the death of his son and how he had to get back up, go to work, and keep his business thriving. And I was like, whoa. And it was a tearjerker. And then Jim Palmer starts talking about how he was diagnosed with skin cancer in the exact same week he lost his dream job and couldn't get a job for probably 18 months, was forced to become an entrepreneur, and became an incredibly successful entrepreneur. And I sat there and I said, this is the conversations I really want to have. And so when I launched my podcast, you know, I told people right up front, if you went through alcoholism or you lost everything, we're going to talk about that. I do a deep dive. You know, I don't do a fun show. You know, it's, you know, we had one guy on, he committed suicide, took a gun to his head, bullet went through, and he lived. You know, those are the kind of conversations I like. I know it sounds macabre a little bit, but I think it makes for a much more interesting show. And that's why I didn't just focus on business.
It really does make for a more interesting show. And I like to do the same, maybe not as deep as you do, but I want to know your story before I want you to tell me about what it is that you need to share with our audience. I really want to know who you are, why you do what you do. Where did you get started? Mm-hmm. You know, what inspired you? And it's a conversation. And I think that's the most fun part about my particular podcast is it's very much a conversation. Yeah. And I can, you know me, well, I may ask you any darn thing.
Well, you get away with it with that Southern drawl. So tell me.
I don't do it on purpose, I promise you. But, you know, I've had people tell me later because I always do a thank you call after the show is over, unless I know that my guest has to run to go do something different. And at some point we're going to have a thank you conversation. And it's not unusual for me to hear, I've never said that on a podcast before. Where did that even come from? But the truth is, Brad, I'm not talking so much as I'm listening. And I think that's where a lot of podcasters make a mistake. They don't sit down, shut up, and listen.
And I still make that mistake to this day. Sometimes if the topic is super aligned with something I know, sometimes I do get a little chatty. One of what's that? Go ahead.
I do too. And I'll have to say, I'm sorry for interrupting, but and off we go.
Yeah, I know. I think it was a month ago. I literally took out 20 minutes of me speaking, and that has never happened. I just could not believe how chatty I was. But for those of you who are podcasters and you're interested in podcasting, probably your greatest asset is to critique yourself hard. And I do this. When I decided to re-interview Brian Smith for my podcast, I went back and listened to an old interview I did with him with Tom Cunningham on his show, Journeys to Success. And I got to tell you, Denise, I went back in and I listened to that show and I was embarrassed at how much I talked. Like, it's like, Brad, shut the hell up. And so I did my research and I sat down and I said, you know what? I'm not going to do that. And here was the surprising part about when I interviewed him for Awakened Nation. I had it all planned out, but this was the weird part. He wasn't going into those deep, painful conversations. I actually had to guide him into those because I knew his story from previously interviewing him. And it was such a rich conversation of him losing his position at UGGs and being kicked out and finally having to fight his way back in. And he's Australian. So if you know Australians, they swear every other word, most of them anyways. So that was a really fun interview. But I think I got the most out of him in that interview.
And listen to everybody who's listening to us. We're not trying to take a deep dive into your psyche. We really want to know who you are and why you want to be on the show and share your story and your business and your tips and your advice with a very large and frankly fascinated audience.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people, you know, and I'm a baby boomer, you know, and we were always taught that, you know, you don't show any signs of weakness, you know, you stand strong. So telling some of these stories for some people, it's really uncomfortable for them, but we're in a day and age of authenticity. And therefore, they've gotten more comfortable with talking about themselves. But I like to bring about that left curveball that no one else is asking, or, you know, push the boundaries a little bit more. I had James Arthur Ray on my show to end season 6 right around Christmas. And if you know who James Arthur Ray is, he was one of those self-help gurus who a few years ago, some people died at his sweat lodge. And whether you like him or you don't like him, or you believe that he, you know, he murdered these people, the reality came out that this man became extremely humble and he was just in pain. And I could see it in his eyes. So when I started the interview with him and his wife, Beerzebub, I said, James, is it okay if I go down the road of pushing you a little bit about what took place with the death of those three people at the sweat lodge? And he said, Brad, I've been beat up. I've been knocked down. Go ahead, ask whatever you want. And with a show like that, I didn't feel it was appropriate to be happy-go-lucky in the beginning and, hey, buddy, what's up? You know, none of that. Instead, I read the first like 5 or 7 paragraphs from his new book. And he basically said, I regret everything that happened that day. It was incredibly, you know, painful. I tried to get help. I didn't know that it was this bad. And after I read that, I looked at him and I said, how painful was it to write that? And you could see this man just open up and kind of, you know, he said it was hard. It was incredibly hard. And so I pride myself in those kind of interviews because not everybody wants to handle that kind of controversy, and I thrive on it.
And not only that, but it gives the opportunity to an audience to have possibly a different perspective of this man. I remember you and I were talking about it, and you had mentioned that he was going to be on your show. And there was a niggle in the back of my head. It's like, I know that name. I know that name. And then when you reminded me, oh, yeah, I don't think I had an opinion of him because it wasn't a story that I really followed. But when I went and kind of did a deep dive, I went, oh, yeah. So I was glad to hear that this man had, he changed. He changed his life. He did have sincere misery welcomed into his life, and largely he did it to himself, but it did change him into somebody who's not as unpalatable as he was.
Well, he's less arrogant. You know, I think, and I'm not saying that he was arrogant. He was a type A personality. And type A's can sometimes come across as callous and uncaring and unforgiving. And the type of work he was doing, it's very transformational. And I like some of the work he does. But like a good coach, he'll kick you, you know, he'll kick you to move forward. And so I think part and parcel of what happened to him was, we discussed this on the show, and that was, he really did get a raw deal. Like, they ignored proper, you know, strategy and law, and they threw the book at him and put him in jail when he probably shouldn't have gone to jail because there were other factors involved. And so that show was really, you know, I mean, we could tiptoe through it, but I didn't want to do that. I wanted to go with the subject right away. And then his wife was really phenomenal because she had been in Iraq, and she, you know, she was a product of war. She was a child of war. So she talked about her demons. And so it was a powerful episode. I really enjoyed it.
Well, and this is, I wanted to ask you what, excuse me, I'm losing my voice today. What had inspired you to start a podcast? And you just went ahead and before I could ask, you answered that.
Yeah,
but that leads me to our audience. What is inspiring you to start a podcast? Who do you want to reach? More than that, who do you want to be?
Yeah. You know, I'm a creative director. For those of you, Google me and you see, you know, I'm graphic designer and creative director. I've won awards for all this stuff. You may be asking yourself, what the heck is a creative director? Well, what I do is I oversee the whole umbrella of strategy for whatever you're rolling out. So like my own podcast, I wanted it to have a certain logo look. I wanted it toned down. I wanted it more dynamic than what everybody else was doing. You know, my if you look at my sizzle reel, you can see, you know, I wanted this sense of excitement from the guests. But if you're listening right now and you're thinking of doing a podcast, we have something that we call, when we create a brand, it has to have legs. Okay. So when I was, and what that means is it's not something that's going to be a flash in the pan, or it's a fad. It has to be something that is sustainable over time for the next, you know, 10 years. So when you sit down and you say, I'm going to launch my podcast and I'm going to talk about cryptocurrency. Well, that's only going to last so long because the cryptocurrency trend out there right now has a shelf life. That's number one. Number two, there are hundreds of thousands of cryptocurrency podcasts. What sets you apart? And so I recommend to anybody who's doing a cryptocurrency to shift your show into modern digital financial advice. You know, take it to this other level. That way you can include guests that are of a different ilk, you know, different investor types, people who work on Wall Street, things like this. This opens up your show to a much more dynamic list of guests. And if you're not really sure what your show is going to be about, I suggest this. Take a piece of paper, draw a vertical line down the center. On the left-hand side, write down the names of your friends or acquaintances that you would love to interview. And then on the right side of the page, write down your dream guests. And if your dream guests start to show a pattern, that's what your show is going to be about. And I think that's the easiest way to start that. And then the other part of it is, what the heck do you name this thing? You know, so Rob Ansbach and I, we're planning on doing an 80s podcast that just focuses on the 80s, because there was so much in that decade that made you go, what the heck is going on here? You know, everything from, you know, the DeLorean to you name it. And we want to talk about that. So Rob actually came up with a great name. He called it B-Rad and Sarcastic Rob's Bitchin' 80s Podcast. And so it's not only funny, but it also shows our personalities in it. And of course, I had the DeLorean from Back to the Future in the logo. So you have to play around, get creative, have fun. Don't be so uptight with your creation, because this is a brand. Think of it more as a brand than a logo. And I'm just doing a podcast. And what do I mean by a brand? A brand is something bigger than just your logo. When people see it, they chuckle because they know what you're all about. It's kind of like walking into Starbucks. And if you see potato salad on the menu, you know you're not in a real Starbucks, okay? You know what that brand is all about. It's about coffee. And that's what your logo, your idea, your podcast should make that statement within less than a second. People should look at that logo and go, oh, I love that show.
Exactly. And listen, I have to admit, and anybody who's heard me before already knows this, I started my podcast 16 years ago. I'm still shocked by that. January 1, 16 years old.
What?
I know. I looked at that and went, whoa, go Denise. But the thing is, I started it, and you know this, because there are no pictures of me on the internet. There never will be. There never have been. They don't exist. I am an introvert by nature. I like people just fine for about 59 3/4 minutes, but that's about all I can handle.
How do I know you're not an AI bot who's been doing this all this?
I don't know. I could be. But I started it, and it was an accident. So I'm going to tell y'all, don't do what I did. Do what Brad tells you to do. But years ago, I was trying to do interviews to kind of get known. I don't network. You're not going to find me in a room full of people with, you know, their name splattered on their chest. It's just not going to be there. And I was asked to do an interview with some, and she's still a friend of mine, and she still has her podcast. And I went, okay. She said, well, just, you know, call this number and, you know, we'll do the interview. Here's me not knowing any better, thinking that it was going to be, she was just going to record it, transcribe it, and then write a, you know, a post about it. So pretty soon I get this link. It says, here you go. And I heard my own voice and just immediately shuddered, because you know what I think of my own voice.
Right.
And I called her. I said, what the heck was that? She said, oh, that's Blog Talk Radio. What? And off I went.
So, and that was it. That's all it took.
I thought, I can do that. Mm-hmm. But I had no plan. I had no strategy. I had no logo. I had nothing. What I had was a pig-headed attitude towards life, and nobody was going to stop me, not even me, and I was going to make it work. So again, do what Brad says, don't do what I did. Okay.
Yeah. Well, there's something to be said about not having a plan, because some of the most successful people in the world, they will tell you, and I get frustrated with this, is like, oh, I fell into Hollywood and now I'm directing films. And you're like, what? How does that happen?
But it happened to me. I fell into podcasting.
There you go. You said a word that, I have to stick myself. But when I started my podcast, it was really under the prompting of my ex-business partner. And she just was constantly, you really should do this. And I said, okay, I'm not going to use my colloquialisms from Pennsylvania, but it was basically, either do your business or get off the pot. And so I sat down, and it was the fastest brand creation I've ever done in my life. It took 20 minutes. It takes weeks sometimes to come up with a brand, but it was like 20 minutes, boom, done, booked 18 guests over a 2-week period. I would interview 2 to 3 people per day from 10 to 2. And I had all my friends on in the beginning, and I have some pretty impressive friends. So I've had like Bob Berg on the show and Dove Barron. Okay.
Dove Barron. Yeah. We've had a lot of the same people.
Yeah. And these people I've broken bread with, I've talked to them and said, hey, you want to be on my show? And Dove's like, mate, absolutely. And all of a sudden, we're sitting across from each other on Zoom and just having a great time. And that first season, the sound went out. My new mic didn't work. I mean, we had all kinds of problems that would have made somebody go, is this God's way of saying stop? But I block book my guests. And I don't do that as much anymore. But back then in the first two seasons, I would book everybody in a week or two period. And then I'd go and take my time and edit, and I'd edit three or four, and then I'd release them each week. And then I went through a bumpy road in my life, and I had to take a break from podcasting. So I didn't have my shows coming out as consistently as I did. And I'm embarrassed by that, but
I remember hunting you down and saying, what the heck?
Yeah. And I was going through a lot at that time. And then I talked to my buddy, Tony Watley, who has 365 driven. And it's a phenomenal show. And he's a very successful podcaster. And I said, Tony, what am I doing wrong? And he said, you got to be consistent, brother. And so I set a goal at the beginning of 2023 to make sure I had an episode out every single Tuesday. And I got to tell you, it paid off in spades because I looked at my numbers on Spotify. I looked at my numbers on YouTube, and we really made some serious gains. So it became a game of consistency. Every Tuesday, I make sure I put an episode out. And from Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I will promote the show on Facebook and LinkedIn. Most of my followers come from those areas. And so consistency is the key. If you're going to do this, you have to really treat it like it's a job, like it's real. And for me, Awakened Nation is my biggest creative outlet. I love it because I get to create amazing artwork. I get to interview some really powerful guests. I never mail it in. You know, I really try to get better at this craft of interviewing people. And through those 10 years of being on almost 100 podcasts, either as a guest or a host, I started to pick up some skills and some things I wanted to integrate into my podcast. So for those of you who are listening, if you've never listened to my show, I make my guests interview my show or open up my show. So they announce the beginning, and then we go into deep dive, and I start talking about who introduced us and how we know each other. And then usually I just hit them with a heavy salvo. And I don't know about you, Denise, but do you do a lot of research on your guests, or do you do a little bit or none at all?
I keep it simple, stupid. I really do. Yeah. For me, I don't want to go back. I'm going to have to say two things here. I don't want to go back and listen to you on somebody else's podcast. That's mm-hmm. immediately overriding how I'm going to operate. So I just don't do it. But I insist on a pre-interview, a 15 to 30 minute pre-interview. Mm-hmm. And I've had some very famous people say, oh, I don't have time for that. Well, you have a nice day now. Yeah. I just don't play. If you won't have the time to sit down and, you know, chat with me for a little bit. I'm telling you, Brad, that 15 to 30 minute conversation, honestly, sometimes I wish I just recorded that and called it good, because that's where a lot of the magic happens. But it's mandatory. I have to have that pre-interview. And you've said this to me before over the years, God, you show up and you're so ready. You're so invested. Nope. I did a 15-minute interview. I read your book, and let's go. That's
how there is to it. You're a pro, baby.
Yes. Keep it simple, stupid.
When my guest is super famous, I mean like internationally famous, I listen to other podcasts. And here's what I listen for. I listen for those first three questions, and I say, I'm never going to ask that. I'm never going to ask that. And the first time I did that was with Panache Desai. And Panache, if you don't know who he is, he's an internationally known spiritual leader who grew up in India and lived in England and got kicked around during the punk rock era and then decided, no, I'm going to go back to my spiritual roots of meditation and blessings and all this. And I sat down and I said, what in the heck am I going to ask that's going to be way different than anybody else? And I have a background in studying a lot of this stuff as well. So I just, you know, I think I kept pace pretty well because I did the research. I did the same with Dog the Bounty Hunter, because I've only watched that show once or twice, and I was impressed by what he did. You know, the guy has a good heart, but I was curious how he and his wife met. And I don't think I asked more than four questions on that episode. And they went off for an hour and a half. Okay. And they're Christians, and they were diving deep into their spiritual belief. And I loved that episode because it was silly, it was fun, and it was deep. You know, they really talked about how they met. So sometimes, you know, it's the research really helps for me. Joe Vitale from The Secret, that was another one where people have given me a lot of feedback. And they're like, wow, that was a great episode because Joe talks about being homeless at one point and he was very upset with himself, angry at the world, and he pulls out a pencil and he starts to realize he can create anything he wants by writing it down, writing with the pencil. And he was very honest. I was surprised. Very honest man. So that's what I do. I mean, I feel it's I think it's an insult to our guests if we don't do some sort of research to prepare and you know come up with that one story that no one else has talked about. Like I had Jeremy Schultz on, and Jeremy he ditched everything in his life and walked across the United States, 3,000 miles from New York City to California. And at one point in the interview, I said, "So you learned this phrase, the road provides, brother." And he goes, "Man, you did your research." And I don't think there's anything better than when a guest says that, because that means I did my job. And that is what your job is. Don't just mail it in. If you're going to be a podcast host, do your research, get ready, be prepared, have your notes ready. I don't always get through every question I've written down, because the flow of the conversation is more important to me than just asking a bunch of questions.
Oh, I agree. I'm looking at my document and I've got a whole ton of questions for you. I know we're not
Oh,
going
yeah.
to do them, but I also know it doesn't matter because you're going exactly where I want you to go with this. So, with time.
Should I be creeped out by that? Because it's like you're Svengali.
Oh, you do know I'm a witch, right? I'm a good
Yes,
witch
I
and a
do.
bad witch. So,
She's a good witch.
I'm a good witch.
He turned me into a newt.
That wasn't me. That was.
That was Monty Python homage to.
Oh, yes, I've never seen that. But I wanted to, and I do have some questions, and one of them we're talking about famous guests, and I've met some fantastic people. And my favorite part about meeting these really fascinating guests is my entrepreneurial library. I'm
Oh,
looking
yeah.
around here, I've got three bookcases. I'm gonna have to build a bigger house. I've got three bookcases in here. There's hundreds of books in here. Yours is in here two twice.
Well,
Your
yeah.
book and the 10 year anniversary, we'll talk about that. But every one of these books, without fail, was gifted to me by my guests. I've read them, I've reviewed them. Some of them will be read again. Many of them will. Some they're like, oh, that's great, but I'm done with it. I don't need it again, but I'm not giving it away. And this is my entrepreneurial library. And you mentioned Ben Gay the third, who is my co-host each Wednesday. He largely started this library with the closers one and two. And I mean, I had other books, I had been gifted many other books, but that's when I went, okay, these are the books that I have a shelf that I'm constantly grabbing, those books. That's where they live. They're in front of me all the time. But I get to meet people literally from all over the world. And I know I've said that, but look, I live in a small town 15 miles from the Gulf of Mexico. Hurricanes come visit frequently. I'm not going to get to meet you in my local Walmart. This is how I meet you.
I'm the same way. I pride myself with the books that are on my shelf because they're signed copies and they're
Yeah.
personally signed to me.
Me too.
You know, on my shelf right now, you know, I have Max James's book right next to me, The Harder I Fall, The Higher I Bounce, which is a business memoir. If you ever talk to Max, it's like he's been through hell and back, and he just keeps going. Also, you know, I've gotten books from Stephen M. R. Covey. He was on my show recently, and his sister Cynthia Covey Haller, who wrote that last book with her dad. Stephen Covey, who wrote The Seven Habits of Highly Successful People. So I pinch myself sometimes at the people, not only that I've interviewed, but I have their books on my shelf, personally signed.
Yeah, Living Life in Crescendo is that book. I'm looking right at it.
Yeah. And then, you know, I've had some guests on that not only blew my mind, but they've become friends of the show, like Marcus Ogden, the NFL football player. He talked about deeply about his failures and how he had to really change his mindset to get out of that failure. And then Damon Lemby. Oh, Damon.
Isn't he great?
He was
Love him.
Just he is a light in a weary world, as I always like to say, which is a Shakespeare quote or Willy Wonka, depending on where you come from. But not only was Damon just mind-blowingly great as a guest, he also gave some master class advice almost on building your business. And then on top of that, he's like recommended seven guests to be on my show. So I've had, you know, the past, since he's been on my show for the past 3 months, probably three out of every six guests or three out of every five guests has been a Damon Lemby recommendation. And they've all been amazing. So it's very, very powerful.
And we talked earlier about we recommend our guests, and I always ask permission. But we have a list. You do, I do, Meredith Bell does. We all have a list of other high-value podcast hosts. And we'll say, do you want to meet this person? I was introduced by Damon Lemby by Meredith Bell. Then I introduced him to you, and Damon sent my cats a bed. It's just, thank you, Damon. They love it. You know, because this is a podcast, P-A-W-D,
yes.
Cast, but we get to meet the best people. I had a similar thing happen some years ago where a gentleman from, I want to say the Ukraine, but he's not American. I can't remember now exactly where he's from. The minute we got off of that thank you call, you know, I would like for you to come back again. That happens a lot, as you know.
Yeah.
I got an email where he introduced me to nine people.
Whoa.
All but one came on my show. It happens. If you do a good job and you do right by your guests, they are going to recommend you all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Down the road, years down the road, it'll happen. Just for instance, one of my guests, you know, and I get to meet the darndest people. I've, you know, interviewed the godfather of the mobile phone. I've interviewed the godfather of the MP3 player, Nathan Schulhoff.
He was great. Yeah.
He's about to be even better. He just introduced me to somebody, and I can't share it just now, but we're talking a lot about iPhones and their
trend
right now, and this new project that they have going on, which is fascinating. And when he comes on, you're going to be fat. I'll do my best to introduce him to you.
Thank you.
A lot going on, but I would not have the opportunity to meet or speak with these people without this podcast. And I'm stressing that like crazy. And I know, but it's important.
You know, a good buddy of ours is probably listening right now, and that's David Brown. I met David. I love Dave. He's the business plan answer man. And Dave, I met him at the beginning of my speaking career. We're talking 2011. And we broke bread, had a couple of beers, had a few laughs and talked. And everybody on his staff, this was the funniest thing. They would come up to him and they go, how in the hell do you know so many famous people? You know, they literally couldn't wrap their head around it because he lives in the middle of Michigan. And he basically looked at everybody and was like, I don't know. I just, you know, I reached out to him and, you know, I got their book and, you know, then I asked him if they would speak and that was it. And we became friends. And then eventually he became a speaker and a author and all that. But it's as simple as that. And Dave, you know, big shout out to Dave and the work he does. He's just a really, not only a great guest, but he also brings the thunder when it comes to your business. If you're a small business owner, Dave is just incredible. But, you know, there's a good example of a friend, someone who became a friend, and then I'm about to have him on my show. And I don't let just anybody be on my show. I've had friends reach out to me and I'm like, I don't think you're appropriate for Awakened Nation. And part of the reason is I've had a couple of friends I've interviewed and I couldn't post those interviews because they couldn't stop selling. They couldn't stop marketing. They couldn't. And I would ask him that powerful question where you failed and you were living in your car. Talk about that. And then they'll talk about it. And then they always flip it around to, hey, you know, I have a course about this. And you're like, nah, and I lose it because that's not what the show is about. If you reveal your deepest, darkest truth, and your pain points, people will lean in and they'll be curious about your business at the end of the show. I always give a plug for what you do. And so, if you're going to have a show, it gets pretty boring if it's just going to be about business all the time. Because with business people, especially entrepreneurs like myself, I've owned over 10 businesses. You may want to ask yourself, well, what drives you to be an entrepreneur? You know, that's a great question for entrepreneurs. And I guess, you know, you and I are the same, Denise. We love interviewing entrepreneurs, not business owners, not executives, although I have had those on my show. But we love interviewing entrepreneurs because the story behind their success is always personal. It is always
Always,
over.
absolutely, always.
They have to overcome a lot of garbage that's in the head, the head space. And or maybe they lost a loved one, or maybe they just had to get up one day and say, you know what, I'm going to do it this way. And that accident made them successful. So I have, if anybody looks at my roster, they're like, what is the pattern here? They can't figure it out because I have entrepreneurs on, and I love my entrepreneurs more than anybody else, simply because I am one. But I've also had shamans on, you know, people who've done ayahuasca do that. You know, as a ceremony, I've had female fighter pilots on, Casey Campbell. She, you know, is a decorated fighter pilot. I had Geraldine Orozco, who claimed to be abducted by UFOs and was in the talked about the military alien hybrid program. And you know, a lot of people raised their eyebrows when I had that show, but she was on a documentary where they hypnotized her and took her through her abductions. And it was like, whoa, it was a pretty deep dive. But she talked about the meditative work she was doing today. And I had people call me up and say, you know, I've been meditating for years and I never understood God until I listened to that episode. And so I had her on a second time. So I like controversial episodes. You know, I like, you know, my buddy YG Nightstorm. He's one of the leaders, the top speakers in the Black conservative movement who left the Democratic Party. I've had him on my show. I've had, you know, some pretty controversial guests. I also like the mental health issues. So I have some people on who fell deep into depression, some who tried to commit suicide, people who were going to die if they didn't get their life together. So I think the central point of my show, this is the tagline. And for those of you who are listening, you're eventually going to craft your tagline working backwards. You're going to backwards engineer this. But I wanted a show where I could talk to people who fell down mentally, spiritually, physically, and just lost everything. And when they got back up, they had to think differently. They had to wake up to a new world. So that's the, I guess, the central rudder of the type of guests I have on my show. And that's why the tagline is a deep dive into the extraordinary. Because I want to know what people are doing that's just not like what everybody else is doing.
I love that. And you mentioned a couple of things. Let's go back just a little bit to David Brown. He was my guest. He's actually a colleague of mine. And we had a podcast 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, where we were talking about podcasting. And, you know, the question there was, is it a hobby or is it a business? And you better figure that out pretty quickly. You and I have talked about this before, you know, where years ago, I remember, I still get my eyebrows still hit my hairline when I think about this. I'll never need to face this, I'm telling you. But I was lurking around in one of the Facebook groups, and there was this gentleman, and I think you have a similar story. But this man, and I watched, I mean, I actually bookmarked it so I could go follow this thing. But this guy took his wife's car and he put it out in the driveway. That would have gotten him a divorce in my house. And he then, you know, turned this garage. I'm hoping it was a single car garage. I don't know. But he turned it into a studio. He spent, long story short, he spent somewhere between $5,000 and $6,000 on equipment. This was years ago, so God knows what he was buying.
Yeah.
Final question, when I couldn't take it anymore, was, okay, now I need to build a podcast. What? What? And I did my best Reba McEntire voice, say, "You moron." I mean, I just stopped. Yeah, I quit watching.
There's your sign.
And then, you know, another thing that I was seeing an awful lot in there, you know, people who had a podcast for 11 and a half minutes. How do I find sponsors? Really?
Yeah.
That's a whole nother conversation. But really, go back and listen to David Brown. You're talking about hobby business, because there are things you need to know. And the other thing was, and you mentioned this, and I've only had, excuse me, hang on a second. My voice really is shot. Over the years, I've only had to shut somebody down twice. You know, in 16 years, that's not bad. But I remember this one woman who was doing exactly what you're talking about, no matter what I would say or do to move her along. Well, if you'll just go to my website. And I just accidentally shut it down. It was an accident.
Yeah. Oopsie.
And I called her and I said, "Listen, thank you, but we're not going to be able to run that. And you have a nice day." And she said, "Oh, well, I can come back." No, we're not going to do that. She kept calling me for about 5 or 6 weeks. And finally, I just had a conversation with her. She said, "Well, I don't understand why I can't come back." And she said it in that tone. And I, in my sweet Southern tone, said, "Because I don't like you."
Nice.
And that was the end of that. But I'm not your billboard. I'm telling you right now, I'm not your billboard. I want you to share who you are, what you bring to the table. And like you, Brad, at the end, I'll say, where can people find you? Where can they find your book? Do you have any last thoughts? But I'm not your billboard.
Yeah. My show, my rules. And that's something everybody should listen to. What are your rules? You know, I recently had a guest on that, I hate to say it, it came out to be bat crap crazy. And I'm gonna put the show up, but I am not gonna promote it. I mean, it was literally, I checked around with other people in the industry and they're like, "Oh, she's crazy." And they weren't, you know, they weren't jealous, they weren't, you know, making up rumors. I was like, I gotta edit this properly. And it's a very delicate issue, but when you were telling your stories, I'm sitting there going, thinking of Larry the Cable Guy. You know, when he goes,
there's your sign right there. That's a good sign right there.
I thought that was Bill. Yeah, or Bill Engvall, I think, said that too. But you know, when Larry the Cable Guy would say, "Well, that's funny." That's funny. Right?
You know that's darn tootin' there.
Yeah,
Denise, that's downright funny.
Yeah. If you haven't figured out, I do impersonations on the show as well. So
no.
Some people, yeah. Christopher Walken is
favorite.
Oh, it's crazy.
I know. Needs more cowbells. I'll say that to you on Facebook every once in a while. Needs more cowbells.
Needs more cowbell.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I can't do it.
You know, all I can say to people is, I did a little bit of research. You know, I wrote an article recently about podcasting, and there are really three ways to the promised land. And I'm doing the hardest way to the promised land, which is build an audience, have some interesting guests. And when you start to see real numbers, then you can start looking for sponsors. And that's what I'm doing right now. Ever since we had 23,000 viewers on Dog the Bounty Hunter, I'm like, okay, now this is becoming real. But you can do a podcast to make yourself known as the leader in your industry. And I think that is probably the very best way to do it. Like, I know people in the insurance industry who are talking to guests out there about investing properly and how to take care of your family. And sometimes they have just a guest on for fun. But what really kind of gets me sometimes is when somebody believes they should do a podcast where they just sit there by themselves and rant for 10 to 15 minutes. Unless you're that guy from Brooklyn who just goes off and can build, you know, an audience like that, or you're Joe Rogan, who's already famous. It's very hard to do a one-person podcast. It really is.
Well, listen, when I started mine, it was always going to be an interview show, always, because I'm just not that interesting.
Yeah, and I feel the same about myself. I know some people may find that surprising, but I really don't find myself that interesting enough to sit here and rant every day. I mean, I'm going to run out of rants in the first year, maybe 2 years. But I'm gonna run out of rants at some point, you know, and I'm kind of like, you know, because I'm from Pennsylvania, but I lived most of my adult life in New York City. So I can complain really easily. And so I just am like, okay, got to keep my mouth shut here.
And getting to know other people, like you and I have gotten to know each other over the years, and all these truly fascinating, every once in a while, rarely, very rarely, will I catch myself looking at my microphone and going, oh God, what have I done here? Yeah. It's rare, because I've done that pre-interview, which, listen, y'all, if you don't have a way, either like Brad does, you go ahead and you do your deep dive and you find out who these people are, you listen to them, or you do it like I do, have a pre-interview, insist on it. You have to know something about the people that are going to come on your show. And the other side of that coin for me, Brad, is I'll have people say, Denise, can you come on my show? Sure. What would you like to talk about? Oh, just jump on. No.
Just come on. Like it's a beach party.
You know. Yeah. As we say in the Deep South, that ain't happening, hon. It's like not gonna happen.
Well, bless her little heart. That's another Southern colloquialism. This is the interesting part. I do agree. You cannot not have a strategy when you're doing a podcast. I mean, if every guest that I have on the show, I really have to sit there and say, okay, what is the first question? The first question should really be unique, aligned with what they're doing. And I also try to be contrarian. It's like with Cynthia Covey Haller, who wrote the book Live Life in Crescendo with her dad, Stephen R. Covey, right around the time he died. You know, she continued the work. And I sat there and I thought to myself, everybody talks about her dad. And I decided to ask about her mom instead. And she lit up over that. She was like, well, my mom did this. And you start to hear this extraordinary woman who was, you know, the grounding force for the family while Stephen Covey ran out and was a keynote speaker and went everywhere he went. And then one of the other stories that she told about her dad is, I think it was her 12th birthday, her dad took her on the road and they had a speaking gig and an old friend came up and said, hey, let's have dinner tonight, bring your daughter. And he goes, no, it's her birthday, I'll have to bow out. We made plans. And I just was touched by that, because this guy was the same on stage as he was off stage. And so with guests like that, if you're going to be a podcast host, folks, always make sure you ask a couple of contrarian questions that they don't normally get hit with, simply because it makes the conversation not only interesting, but it gets them to kind of open up about something they never get a chance to talk about.
Exactly. And that, we had largely the same conversation, she and I, especially. The first conversation, and I do this a lot. I've done it with you. I've done it with a number of my guests. Halfway through, I will say, or three quarters of the way through, I say, listen, we're not going to make it all the way through this. You have so much to share. Can you come back? And I do it on the radio, so they can't tell me no. It's very tricky. But I did it with her. And she said, I would be delighted to. And she came back the second time, which was even better than the first time.
Well, her brother, Stephen, well, they both did this. They invited themselves back before I finished the interview. Because You know, and listen to this, folks. I'm not bragging. I want you to know, if you're doing a good job, this is what's going to happen. Your famous guests are going to request to come back on. And for me, it's just a conversation. I don't want to sit there and go, Bueller, you know, Bueller. I want a deep dive. Eartha Kitt's daughter, I had her on the show, Kit Shapiro, and she looks 100% white, even though her mother is black and her father.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's what happened. I went there with her. I just said, hey, look, you are the biological daughter of Eartha Kitt. Why? What is going on with people thinking you're not, and blah, blah, blah. And we did that deep dive into those areas. Look, people don't tune into a show and lean forward and get excited to hear the next episode if you just ask questions like everybody else does. So don't, you know, if you're going to do a show, like I'm going to keep repeating this, don't make it like everybody else's show. I have famous people introduce my show, and I love that. And then the final thing I think is the icing on the cake of my show is I do a deep dive at the end of lightning round questions. I ask three questions, and they get a chance to tell me things they've never been able to share on any other show. This opens up a whole other gate for them to explore. And so my number one question I love asking is, what's your favorite memory? And so Panache Desai started crying, and he started talking about his grandmother teaching him how to meditate and the incense and everything else. And he looks at me and he goes, you're Barbara Walters me, mate. You're Barbara Walters me. And then the second question I asked him that I just was blown away with is, like, I always ask this one with some of my guests, but I asked them, what is the one thing about you that you love that we don't know about you? And Panache went off about his love for Harry Potter. He's obsessed with Harry Potter to the point of his wife going, you can't buy that. you know what I mean? And I thought that was hilarious. You know, this big strapping guy talking about how he loves Harry Potter. Brian Smith from Uggs, he opened up about being a rugby coach. And in the U.S., when he first came to the U.S., he was teaching rugby. And here he is some 40, 50 years later, and those rugby coaches that are coaching professional rugby and at the high schools and the colleges, they're all the kids he used to teach rugby to. Aww. And I thought, oh, that is just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I love to ask questions against type. So if I see somebody who's very happy, happy-go-lucky, you know, loving, I'll just ask them what pisses you off. So I ask the opposite. You know, I'm dangerous.
Don't ask me that ever.
I'm dangerous. I know what pisses you off.
It'll take the whole 60 minutes.
I'm very dangerous like that, because I'll look at the person through the interview, and I think this is really, really important. And I want everybody to maybe write this down. As I'm listening to their responses, I'm listening like I'm an audience member. And sometimes they'll say something that piques my interest, and I know I have to ask them something about that later on in the show. So sometimes people will see me on camera, I'm looking down and I'm typing or I'm writing. It's not that I'm, you know, playing around on the internet. I'm doing another deep dive to take this to another level. And so I might wait till the very end of the show and say, you said this about this. I want to explore why, you know, you or that, you know, or whatever. And so I get people like that. Like, here's a good example. Kim Casey Campbell, she's a fighter pilot who barely made it back to her base. And, you know, they did a over in Baghdad, they had a bombing raid, and she got so shot up. When she landed, her Warthog A-10 airplane, the firefighters came up and they just stood there. They didn't even, you know, spray it with water. They just stood there. And as she climbed out of the cockpit, they shook her hand instead. She goes, what the hell is wrong here? And she turns around. Her whole fuselage was gone. Like, there was a 6-foot hole in the aircraft. And she somehow got it back to base. And here's clearly an alpha woman. And I said to her at the end, I said, what do you do to calm down and relax? You know, it's so, you know, those kind of questions I feel make a show much more interesting.
They do. And what you were just mentioning, that you're taking notes. I do the same thing. I've got the notepad in front of me and I'm taking notes while talking with you. But what you just described, when you're listening like an audience, I call it, I'm listening in between the lines.
Yeah, you have to.
You have to.
And I got to tell you, you know, our friends, our buddies that we've had on the show, like Adam Homey and Jim Palmer, and I had Susan Harrow on.
Love her.
Yeah, I already knew they were really dynamic people, but, you know, especially like Adam, you know, Adam looks like the nerd that, you know, everybody used to pick on in high school. And you get to know him, and he and I are good friends. We go out for a cigar every once in a while and some good food. And I am always blessed to be around him and to listen to him. This is such a wise young man. And I just, when he speaks, I'm listening, I'm going, this took work to be outgoing like this. This took work for him to be so present and intelligent and speak with the power that he speaks with, that when I was on his Brilliance and Passion show, or Passion and Brilliance, he was ready. Like he respected me enough to have some amazing questions already set up. So I just love interviewing our friends who are super successful. It's a lot of fun.
Talking about Adam, we spend every presidential election night together.
You're kidding.
I'm not. And we've never met. We've been friends for years and years and years, but we're texting back and forth. No. We're Facebooking back and forth. Did you see that? What about this?
Yep.
My mom, when she was still alive, bless her, she's been gone a couple years now. And I remember having this three-way conversation at midnight my time with Adam, with my mom, and tried to tell my mom, no, because we're a few hours older than you are. This is what's really happening. Don't watch TV. We can play.
That's
and
funny.
We get rocking and rolling on election night. I can't wait.
Well, I'm going to put a challenge out there. I know you don't have to show your face. You don't have to do that, but someday we have to all meet in person and have a nice dinner. And Adam knows some great, great restaurants here in Vegas. So I'm just putting it out there. I know you like to be a little bit of a hermit and tease the neighborhood kids around Halloween, but we would be honored to buy you dinner. So, I want everybody to kind of really get out of your comfort zone when you make the dream guest list that I recommended at the beginning of the show, because Denise, I got to tell you, I have waited years, and sometimes I didn't have the guts to just reach out to them earlier, but I had Jeff Speakman on my show at the beginning of January. And for those of you who don't know who Jeff Speakman is, he was one of those big breakout, you know, martial arts stars who his first big movie was The Perfect Weapon. And he was one of the last big, students of Ed Parker, who taught Kempo, American Kempo. So I'm a martial artist as well. And I didn't realize, hey, I should just ask this guy to be on my show. And here's how I met him. This is the funniest part. I went to my dentist, a brand new dentist, when I moved out here to Las Vegas. And my dentist and I and his wife, we start chatting in the lobby. And I found out my dentist, Dr. Wright, James Wright, he was going for his black belt in Kempo. And so I already have my black belt. So I kind of gave him a couple of pointers. And I said, who's your sensei? And he goes, Jeff Speakman. I said, The Perfect Weapon, Jeff Speakman? He goes, yeah. And I couldn't believe it. And so his wife gave me all their information, you know, to get in contact with Jeff. And I waited 2 years to actually reach out and say, hey, Jeff, you want to be on the show? And I thought it would be a struggle. And he said, dude, I would love to be on your show. So we were, you know, had him on. I interviewed him, and it was a phenomenal interview. And after we got off the interview, he invited me to lunch. And I'm just sitting here going, you're going to meet your, you're heroes, my friends. If you really are committed to doing something great, even if it's a business podcast and you're in a particular industry, go for the gold, man. Ask those really big name people to be on your show. You will be shocked at who says yes.
You will be. And yeah. I've shared this before, and I know you know this story, so I'll keep it brief. But when I first started 2008, I'm still shocked by that. I had interviewed Bob Berg and, you know, several people, you know, on there were speakers on stage, had books. Don't know how I got them, but I did. And all of a sudden, I realized that I had no plan. I had no guest list. I was going to have to shut it down because I'm boring. And I was like, what am I going to do? I don't want to shut this down. I really enjoy it. It's the only way I can get my voice heard. So yeah, I was already friends. Well, I say friends. I was already on Larry Winget's fan page. I went, I like Larry Winget. I always have. And when he comes on my show, I'll be honest, we have to be careful because neither of us has filters. So we just don't. Yeah. So I thought, why not? If you don't ask, you don't know. You know, right. There's three things that are going to happen. They're going to say no, they're going to say yes, or they're going to ignore you, which is a no. So I sat down, and this was before Facebook Messenger. This was a long time ago. And I sent a note to him, and I was very careful about how I approached him. I said, listen, I watched your show on A&E, I think it was. I have a couple of your books. I am actually a fan. I've got this podcast. I've interviewed Bob Berg and a few other of your speaking buddies, and I would love to have you on my podcast. And I lifted my shaking fingers from the keyboard, walked out, went into my kitchen, stuck my head in the refrigerator because that's where I meditate. You know, once you get to the refrigerator, you open that door, you're blank.
It's the light. It's the light that does it.
Oh, yeah. So I'm just very quiet. I'm calm. Came back in about 15 minutes later and I hear this or I see this note that says, I'd love to. I went,
and that is wow.
He saved. And I've told him this before, you saved my podcast.
Wow. Wow. And what everybody is, I think, is the takeaway from this is you just got to try. You got to go for it. You got to have a purpose for your podcast. You have to have a strategy. You have to have interesting guests. And I'm blown away that you had the guts to reach out to Larry and just do it. I know Joe Calloway and Larry Winget.
Joe had been on my show. You know, Joe and Bob Berg and
Bob, I love
others. Mark Sanborn, I think. But I went, well, let's go for Larry.
I just interviewed Dave Sanderson, by the way. Speaking of our friends, this is the second time he's been on my show, and we had a really deep conversation. So that was powerful.
Yeah, I built his original website back in the day.
I know, it looks great. And the one sheet and everything, you did all that work. Beautiful. And by the way, those of you who are listening, Denise helps you with your image, your website. She did mine as well. So get in there, hire her, do it.
I have cats to feed.
Do it.
I need the help. Listen, before I let you go, and I still have so many questions, I do want you to come back.
Sure. Do that.
I wanted to ask you, I didn't want to ask you this. I've had people say, you know, can you ask Brad this? Is it true that podcasting will make you famous or wealthy? Let's talk about that. Is it possible to produce a dedicated audience for your podcast? We're definitely talking about that.
Yeah.
I'm talking about expensive equipment or moving your wife's car out to this driveway. We can talk about all that. So anyway, before I let you go, tell us what you might have wanted to mention that I got in your way. I was too busy chatting at you. Share with us what you think is really important, and then where can people find you? Oh, sure. And the next time you come on, I want to talk about your book. We didn't make it this time.
That's okay. We'll do that. I guess what I want to tell people is, you know, I already said you got to be consistent, but also just really try to create an interesting show that can be a brand at some point. You know, it's bigger than you. It's bigger than life. And your guests are what people line up for. When I was first started, I always put my picture next to the guest. I stopped doing that. I just take my picture out and keep the guest up there. And a lot of times they send me horrible headshots. So I have to go dig on Facebook and find like this really dynamic photo. But all I can say is start small, build this show, build your audience, but think big as well. I am still using the video camera that I bought probably 20 years ago, a Logitech HD camera. And I spent maybe $150 on this Yeti, Blue Yeti microphone. And maybe another $200. I have a stand that I move around and I've fixed up the corner of my studio to look really nice. But now that the podcast is really gaining momentum, when we move to a new house, I'm going to build an actual studio. So do it in baby steps. You have to do it that way, because I speak to other podcasters and sometimes they start out with a phone line in a room, and like Randy,
I was landline for 10 years.
Randall Kenneth Jones, he just recently upgraded his show. Now, Randy never did video, even though the people came to his house, sat down and he filmed them and recorded them. He never put the video up. So he has pictures of him arm wrestling Dog the Bounty Hunter. He's had Barbara Cochran on his show. He's had all kinds of amazing, very famous guests that most boomers know about, which is, you know, like the mother from, you know, the Brady Bunch. You know, he's had incredibly famous guests on his show. And he now had to reinvent the show because he named the show after himself. Well, nobody knows who he is. So be careful about naming the show after yourself. And then all of a sudden now he just puts it, we changed the title and I did the artwork. Actually, it's called On the Nose, and nose is spelled K-N-O-W-S.
Oh, I got an invite for that yesterday.
And guess what? There's a quote. I put it in quotation marks. Well, Randy is an incredible interviewer. And he does a deep dive as well, very conversational. And now he's repurposed his whole show to now be on the nose instead of the Jones Dot Show. And he's now going to start putting up video content on YouTube. And it's about time. You know, I look at it this way. Do the show you would want to watch. Make it interesting. Don't make it boring. Get your, you know, audience to lean forward with your questions. Let the guest answer those questions. And don't be afraid to laugh or crack a joke or tease them. You know, I teased Dog the Bounty Hunter because we found out he was cutting the warden's hair. He became the warden's barber in the prison. And I said, let me get this straight. The toughest guy in prison for murder is cutting the warden's hair. You know, make it fun. You know, make it a conversation. You're sitting down having a cup of coffee with this person and you have 15 minutes to break the ice and get them to open up. What are you going to ask them? What are you going to do to get them to lean forward and trust you immediately? And I think that is what makes a great podcast. And don't be afraid to ask those tough questions. If it's too controversial, ask them up front. Is it okay if I talk about this? And if they say, no, I don't really want to talk about that, then you don't. You know, I had one young man who I interviewed years ago, and he had fallen on such hard times. I don't want to say what he had to do to survive, but, you know, it was worse than doing heroin. You know, he had fallen deep down. He goes, you know, my mom's still alive. I don't want her to know how bad it got. And so we didn't go there on the interview. And so it's just make a great show is all I have to say. You know, we try to reinvent the wheel, Denise, and it's really simple. What shows do you like watching? What podcasts do you love listening to? And just repeat that formula, but with your own je ne sais quoi, as they say, that certain something that makes you unique. What is unique about me? I think I'm funny, but I'm also very serious. I think I ask deep questions. I think I really am interested in people enough that I want to hear that horrible story. I think I have compassion and kindness, but I also want to hear your side of things. And those values that I carry in my heart and in my head come from growing up in a small town. So I literally am a small town boy interviewing some pretty powerful and big name celebrities who have a net worth that's way more than I will ever have. And I just enjoy the process of listening to them. You know, I guess I'm a people person, as they say. And that's where I sit in my, that's my superpower, I believe, on my show, Awakened Nation.
I love your show. And I hate to have to do this, but we are over time and we're probably going to get cut off, which will break my heart. So you're coming back. And to the audience, as we conclude today's episode, your feedback means a lot to me. So if you found the show helpful, please support us with a quick review on iTunes. Your input is vital in my mission to inspire and empower, really empower, excuse me, more individuals. So don't forget to hit subscribe, leave a review, and share your Partner in Success Radio with friends. And be sure to go find Brad Zolas on the web, S-Z-O-L-L-O-S-E on the web, and connect with him and listen to Awakened Nation. Thank you for tuning in, and I will see you next week. Brad, thank you.
Thank you, Denise. Take care, everybody.
Get your voice heard. If you would like to launch your own far-reaching podcast, contact Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com and go to the podcast tab.